Brother, I appreciated that talk very much. I just wanted to throw a couple more biblical examples your way of maybe possible deceit. One of them for sure is. One of them may or may not be. But the first is 1 Samuel 21, when David pretends to be crazy to save his life. And the second one is in Acts chapter 23, when the Apostle Paul is being questioned by the court of Jews, and he sees an out, and he says, "I'm being persecuted for the concerning the resurrection of the dead." Now this is true, but he wasn't using that as an opportunity to preach Jesus to them. He was using it as an opportunity for escape. So I'd like your analysis of both those situations. Are they both wrong? One of them wrong?
So let me say this about historical examples. The reason I chose the three cases that I chose, the Hebrew midwives, Samuel, and Rahab, is because in all of those cases, there's some sort of commendation, some sort of praise of God. In fact, in Samuel's case, it was God's idea from the beginning. And so we have to then reconcile, what were they doing and why were they being praised? But there are a number of instances where somebody does something and we have no positive or negative statement from the Lord to adjudicate whether or not what they did was right or wrong. So in the case of David, I think David was beguiling them. I think David was being deceitful. But God doesn't praise him for that. It's not as though the scriptures say, "You did the right thing there, David. That was the way to go. Act like a crazy person." Right? So I would say, yeah, I think David lied. I think he deceived them. And I don't think that was right. In the case of Paul, I think Paul is just changing the subject. I think he's just shifting the conversation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that this goes to the Samuel case. Samuel knew he needed another reason to be there. God gives him that reason, and he keeps the conversation focused on that. "I'm here to sacrifice. Let's do that." Were the conversation to shift the other way, I think Samuel, as I said, would have to admit the other reason he was there, or at the very least, he'd have to say, "I'm not talking about that." So I don't think it's a problem to change the conversation. To steer the conversation in a way that you're more comfortable with. And clearly Paul wanted to get out of that situation. So I don't think there was anything wrong with him just shifting the conversation.
In response, Alan Bonifay.
I thought that was excellent, Shahe, and I agreed with you throughout. Something you might add on this situation about Rahab. James says she was justified, which implies that she was guilty of sin and was tried and acquitted. So if she was acquitted, then she had to quit doing her harlotry. She also had to quit lying to save life, or for whatever reason. And I think the word justified is an important addition there. We had a preacher out our way a number of years ago who taught several young men who wanted to preach, one of them at least is preaching now, that it was not only okay to lie to save life, but it was the thing a person ought to do to save life. Well, I think that's false doctrine. I thought it then, and I think it's now. For whatever it's worth, when I was discussing this then, Danae said to me, she had read about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister guarding Jews during the Nazi problems of World War II. Corrie Ten Boom decided she would lie about whether or not Jews were being harbored in her home, and a number of the Jews she harbored were killed. Her sister decided not to lie, and none of them were killed. Now, I don't know that that proves anything, but I do think people should tell the truth. But we do run into some difficult passages, and I wanted to ask you, since Matt brought up 1 Samuel 21, earlier in 1 Samuel 21, David tells Abimelech that he needs some bread, and he says he's on a mission from the king. And it looks, seems unlikely that he would be on a mission from the king. Was he lying there, or is it possible the king gave him an old mission?
Yeah. I think, again, it's a situation where we just don't have enough information to say one way or another.
Wes Bonfay.
You mentioned several, you mentioned cases of uncertainty and withholding and other gray areas. One that I was maybe anticipating but didn't hear was the case of exaggeration or embellishment. And is that lying? And is that, is it something that we should avoid entirely? Is it acceptable?
I do not think that hyperbole is wrong. I certainly don't think it's the same as lying. The Bible uses hyperbole in as a teaching method. So I don't think it's wrong to exaggerate. I don't think it's wrong to use hyperbole. I'm sure that wisdom is required to know where the line is between exaggeration and falsehood. And that may be difficult to determine in every situation. So I don't think it's wrong to embellish or to use hyperbolic language. The Bible does. But I do think that there's a point where that can be over the edge. And I think it's important to remember the definition of lying. Lying is speaking falsehood in order to deliberately mislead someone. So joking, sarcasm, these are situations where they can be wrong. All speech has certain principles that govern it. If you are sarcastic deliberately to the point of wanting to hurt someone's feelings, that's wrong. But Jesus used sarcasm. Maybe one of my favorite lines Jesus ever gave is I got it over here somewhere. It's in John chapter 10. When the Jews went to stone him, he said in verse 32, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me?" That was sarcasm. That was sarcasm. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 4, when he's writing to the Corinthian Christians, says, "You're rich, you're full, oh, you reign as kings. I wish you did reign." He said that was sarcasm. He was using sarcasm there. Elijah, where's Baal? Where is he? Speak louder. Be more ridiculous. He'll hear you. He's just away for a little while. That was sarcasm. So I think that there's allowance for that. But like all speech, there's a line when joking becomes coarse joking. Or when speech becomes hateful, hurtful speech, deliberately attempting to hurt someone. Sarcasm and exaggeration, I would say, would be the same.
Okay, Mark Shaw.
Thank you, Shaw. Hey, can I do a two-parter?
Sure.
The first is, if your position on the Hebrew women's correct, and God had miraculously caused labor to be quick, they weren't doing anything. The women were having children too quickly for them to arrive. And so why did God bless them if they weren't actually making any decisions about life or death?
I think because they had said they would not obey the king's command to kill the children.
So, but they didn't actually perform any.
I don't think we have enough information to say one way or another, but I do not think that there's sufficient information to say for certain they were lying.
And then the second question is, when I think Jerry has a sermon on this, Micaiah talks to Ahab about going to Ramoth Gilead. He tells this story that God sent a lying spirit into the prophets, which is a difficult passage of scripture. And then over in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're told that God sends strong delusion to those who do not want to believe the truth. How do you answer that in regards to God does not lie?
Well, I think Billy Dickinson covered lying spirit when he gave a presentation on demonic possession, didn't you? Maybe. And I think my answer to both of those is I don't know. And I'd love to hear, you know, any positions, any interpretations, and anyone who can help with this. Strong delusion, I think we probably understand that the same way we understand God hardening Pharaoh's heart, that once Pharaoh had set his life down that path, God made it possible for him to continue in that vein. Strong delusion is probably the same or similar to that. Once people have set their heart against the Lord, God will make it possible and allow for them to continue down that path, to go further and further away from Him. The lying spirit, I don't have a clue.
Jerry Dickinson.
Well, my name was, I was going to talk about Micaiah, about exaggeration and sarcasm, a powerful tool, because Ahab said, should we go up? And he said, go up. God's going to bless you. Of course, Ahab recognized that wasn't the truth and said, tell me the truth. And he said, oh, you want the truth. And so he used that. He didn't lie. It was a tool. But then he tells about he saw these spirits before God. And God said, what are we doing with them? He said, I'll go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And so I don't understand that exactly either. But so far as the strong delusion, I believe God allows. God is said to do what he allows to be done. I think literally it's a working of deceit. If a person wants to believe a lie, God will allow you to do that as he did in the case of Pharaoh and provide a working of deceit, a strong delusion in that way. But what I was going to, one thing I want to say is we need wisdom to know how to use sarcasm and how, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, I send you out in the midst of wolves, be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. He wasn't telling them to lie to save their lives, but you can be wise. You don't have to always answer a question directly. You can answer a question with a question, like Jesus did. And so that's what you, I thought it was great, as a matter of fact, a wonderful presentation. Well, should I ask him about Mom, about Mama? Or do you want to do that? Okay. Mom, one of the last things Mom bought before she's got dementia, and she's in a facility now, but she remembers she bought a car. And she loved that car. And when it got to the point that she and Dad couldn't drive it anymore, she gave that car to Billy. Well, Billy was coming back and ran over a hay bale and totaled out the car. Wasn't his fault. I mean, and so Mama keeps asking about that. And Billy doesn't want to tell her. Now, he's going next week, and he's going to tell what happened. Well, yesterday, I told Mom, Billy's coming up to the study. She said, I wonder how the car is running. And I said, well, the car he's driving is running well. Now, I may have lied. I don't know. I knew what she was asking. She was asking about the other car. But I said the new car. I didn't say the new car, but the car he's driving. So what do you do with somebody like that? Do I need to make a confession to Billy? Maybe both of us do, you know. I don't. Let me tell you this one more, and I don't want to just dominate the thing, but my daughter Leah, she teaches, but she was a social worker. And she worked in a nursing home or a facility. And there was this man who would come to her and say, I have my Ford is parked out there. I want you to take it down here and get it serviced. Well, the first time, Leah tried to reason with him, and he got upset. And so finally, she just said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And later he'd say, did you bring my car back? It's sitting outside. That wasn't true, but otherwise the man went. So what about situations like that where a person doesn't really understand and you're telling them what they want to hear and they don't really understand? What would you do, brother?
Far be it from me to say I'd do anything different than the Dickinsons. You're right that sometimes we deal with difficult people and it might not always be readily apparent what to do.
I mean, I think, you know, just tell your mother, stop asking about the car. Don't worry about the car anymore. And that would probably be okay. When someone has dementia, I mean, that's a hard, you know, you try to comfort people in those kinds of situations, and I don't know what to do there. But I don't think that a Christian can ever lie to get somebody off their back or to quiet somebody who's annoying them. I think we have to make sure we don't go into an area where we're deliberately misleading someone just because we want them to act a certain way or to do a certain thing.
Come here real quick. Before we go on, we're running short on time now. Before we go on to the last two questions, I want to throw these out there because in the books and articles made to justify occasional lying, people bring up, you know, if you say you can never tell a fib or a lie, you can't even play a game. All kinds of games involve deceiving someone. My wife accuses me of playing all games deceptively. And, you know, what about that? And what about that verse that says that a man who deceives his neighbor and then says, I was only joking, is like a madman who throws firebrands and death?
Yeah, that's over in Proverbs 26. So let me say about games. Not every game is appropriate for Christians. In fact, we're planning next year at this study, he's not here tonight, but he'll be back tomorrow, to have Brother David Griffin address the subject of Christians and entertainment and what biblical principles should be used when we choose our various forms of entertainment. And so not every game is appropriate for Christians. And I don't want to give the impression at all, and I don't think it's right to say that when we're talking about the realms of games or theater and acting or pretending in any other way, that in those make-pretend environs, you have a carte blanche permission to do whatever you want, even things you might otherwise not do. You still have to be a Christian when you act in a play or when you play a game. But I do think that the definition of the word to communicate what is false with the evident purpose of misleading someone helps us to understand that everyone's playing a game and everyone knows that deception is part of the game. I don't think you can strictly call that lying. I don't think you can strictly call that lying. Now, should we be careful about that? Yeah. Can we become desensitized? You get so good at lying in games that it becomes easier to lie in real life. That might be something to consider. And I don't think it's inherently wrong to play a game that includes deception, but I think we have to be careful about it.
Proverbs.
Okay, Proverbs 26 says, if you deceive someone and then say, I'm just kidding, that's a real bad thing. But the word deceive there, the word for deception, is a word that means to cheat someone or to beguile someone. The first time the word is used in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, when it's used to describe what Laban does to Jacob when he swaps out Leah for Rachel on the wedding night. That was a deception. And if Laban said the next day, gotcha, that would have been wrong. It was wrong what he did. So Proverbs 26 is not talking about joking. It's talking about cheating someone and then later saying, oh, it was a good joke, wasn't it? That's what Proverbs 26 is condemning.
I got to throw one more out that if we don't answer, it might discredit your whole lesson. This is very real to preachers. A lady serves horrible meatloaf and then she asks, how'd you like my meatloaf? And you're staying with her all week for the meeting.
Okay, so here's the problem with answering this question. It will mean that every time I give this answer, the sister will know that I did not enjoy her meal. No, I mean, that happens. That's the pulpit commentary quote. If you said every true thought that flashed in your mind, you could never live in civilized society. So she says, how was dinner?
I believe I can say, I really appreciate you inviting me over. Thank you very much. And leave it at that.
Randy, can you get yours out of this? Okay, Alan, we got 2 minutes. That's all.
I just wanted to say one more word, Shahe, on this embellishment or exaggeration. If we're using exaggeration or hyperbole to teach the truth about something or to emphasize something in a way that makes the truth clearer to people, as in the example Jerry gave or and maybe others have given, I think that's fine. If we're using exaggeration or embellishment to make ourselves look better or to make someone else look worse, then you have an intent to deceive, and that makes it wrong. And we need to be careful about that. We're all the time telling stories about things. We need to decide if we need to be telling this story, first of all, maybe. But secondly, if so, we need to tell it like it really happened.